Senator Ben Cardin joins me now. Senator Cardin, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. I appreciate the courage to come on the show. But let's talk a little bit, because, by the way, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You were closed and we couldn't reach you, but you actually had an excuse. You were out there. You were on record last week voting for the resolution to come out of committee. Oddly enough, most of your fellow representatives and senators in the state of Maryland have been tough to reach until today. They haven't wanted to take a stand, but you did. Tell me why, explain to everybody why you voted for the resolution to come out of the committee.
Well, first, it's always a very difficult decision to authorize the use of force. It's something that should always be a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain U.S. interests, and the interest is to defend our own country is one reason. Another is when you have a gross violation of human rights, where the international community must stand up and say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen. And in this case, the use of chemical weapons was well documented. It was a major use. It killed over 1,400 people. And it clearly violated international human rights commitments. Action was required. Now, we want that action to be from the international community. We want to see it effective in dealing with the ability of Syria to use chemical weapons in the future. And we also don't want to be drawn into a civil war.
Right.
So the resolution that passed the United States Senate Foreign Relations Committee was first based upon the objective to deal with the chemical weapons. Secondly, it made it clear that there'd be no ground troops. Third, it was limited in duration to no more than 90 days. And fourth, it did bring in the ability to find a diplomatic way of handling this issue, which, as you are now aware, there's an active track trying to see whether we can't get these chemical weapons under international control. That would be done, we hope, without the use of military force. If that were to occur, then we've achieved our objective. So the main concern I had is that if there was no action, then it would become more likely we would see chemical weapons used in the future, not just against the Syrian people, but against our allies in that region, including Turkey, Israel, and Jordan, and that it would be a clear message to the Iranians on the use of nuclear weapons or the North Koreans on the use of nuclear weapons, that the world would not react if they were to use such weapons.
Well, you've not knocked off the two reasons that we would act militarily, one being national security. So that is clearly not in the case here. There is no national security interest.
Well, I have voted for and against the authorization of the use of force, and I have supported the use of force to deal with gross violations of human rights, ethnic cleansing, circumstances that we saw in the former Yugoslavia and Kosovo and Bosnia. I supported the use of force. So I do believe it's in the United States' strategic security interest to stand up against the ethnic cleansing of gross violation of human rights that does affect American security.
But maybe in a roundabout way, but in a direct way, this is more of a humanitarian issue than it is a national security issue. Because let's look at the rebels that we would be indirectly aiding. Especially, now, Senator Cardin, I would tell you that I would have supported this had the president done what President Reagan did in 1986 with Libya and acted and then explained why he acted, rather, because we would have caught both the Assad regime and the rebels off guard. The rebels wouldn't have been able to as easily capitalize on any military action that we took, and we would be able to do serious damage to the Assad regime's particular ability to use chemical weapons in the future. We could have hit them before they moved them or moved civilians to sort of be human shields around them. Is that a failure on the president's part to not act if it was so important that we have this red line in the first place?
I think that's a legitimate issue that you raised. There were certain advantages and disadvantages to taking immediate action, and certainly his predecessors as president have taken action without congressional approval. So that was clearly an option that would have had certain advantages. President Obama felt very strongly that the Constitution and the laws require the United States Congress to be part of the process, and that we would benefit by an open discussion.
Well, but he said that he can act regardless of what Congress does, and he doesn't need congressional authorization for this.
That is a position I think most presidents have taken since the passage of the War Powers Resolution. But I think the military has told us that they feel very confident in a military mission here. So I very much understand the point that you're raising, and I think there would have been certain advantages to taking immediate action. But I think the president felt committed to engaging Congress and felt that he had a responsibility to have Congress a part of it and that America be stronger with an open debate.
Now that Russia has stepped forward and sort of capitalized on Secretary of State Kerry's sort of off-the-cuff remark, and the president has said that if they give up their chemical weapons, that things would be on hold, military action would be on hold, then what would be the point of military action in the first place if we were told it was to punish Assad for using them? That's not really punishment to not punish him.
I think the resolution that passed our committee was very clear. The purpose of the military action was to make it much less likely that Syria had the capacity to use chemical weapons in the future. That was clearly the intentions of the resolution that was...
But Senator Cardin, Senator McCain got an amendment added to that that said that it was clearly the aim of any action to change the momentum in the civil war. That would, again, be the punishment of Assad.
The resolution, and I invite you to read it carefully because I was involved in some of the drafting. The actionable section on which you can use military force is limited to the chemical weapons issues, not the civil war at all. The military and the State Department testified that a consequence of making it less likely they can use chemical weapons could very well have an impact on the strength of the government and the opposition. But that was not at all a purpose of the military operation, and it was not the authorization of Congress.
If a couple last questions here, and I appreciate your time today, Senator. If we do end up taking this, if this deal comes together with Russia sort of leading the spearheading and the monitoring and the seizure of the chemical weapons in Syria, first of all, the verification process for that would have to be very elaborate because we can't pretend that the Russians are completely neutral on this or completely trustworthy. And secondly, what does that send? What message does that send to Iran on their nuclear program if we can be talked out of action we say is very principled on what amounts to a gaffe by the Secretary of State and someone who is on the opposite side saying, okay, we'll do it?
Well, if we can achieve our mission of getting the chemical weapons under control internationally, that is certainly what we want to do. You're absolutely correct. We would have to have independent verification. We would have to have all the protections in place to make sure, in fact, they are doing it. There is certainly great suspicion as to the sincerity of Syria in this regard. So I am very suspect as to whether they're sincere in really placing their chemicals under international control. Second point. That doesn't end the debate here. I will be pushing very hard for criminal responsibility for those who are responsible. We have an international criminal court that deals with the gross violations of basic internationally recognized human rights, and certainly President Assad should be held accountable for his actions.
Now, how do we know that it was Assad who did this? I mean, I assume you've seen some evidence that that the public hasn't, which I think should be declassified if you're talking about military operations here and wanting the support of the American people. But what advantage, you're an expert, you're on the Foreign Relations Committee, you know this stuff, you have access to things we don't. What was the advantage of Assad using chemical weapons against civilians at a time when he was essentially winning the civil war, whereas I can see an advantage of the rebels, especially the al-Qaeda elements of the rebels, which are fairly significant, using them in order to get a world that was sitting on the sidelines with their arms folded interested?
Well, the evidence is overwhelming that President Assad was responsible for use of
chemical
weapons.
But we haven't seen it. We hear that all the time.
Well, the president's going to address the nation tonight. I don't know whether he intends to lay out the specific information. I agree with you. Other than compromising sources, we should be as specific with this information. It's overwhelming, and it should be made available to not only the American people but the international community. But it's very clear from the information we have that President Assad was responsible for the use of chemical weapons. So I really do believe that's pretty there's no other alternative here than the responsibility of President Assad.
Well, hopefully the president is out of case tonight.
Now, as far as the rebels are concerned, as far as they are concerned, we are concerned about a lot of extreme factions in Syria, and that's why our single objective here is to deal with the chemical weapons.
Now, Senator Cardin, can you just tell us really quickly what the problems are with the rebels? There's a faction that is the Free Syrian Army. They are, you know, as pro-Western as you can expect over there. But there's also parts of Hezbollah. There's also parts of Al-Qaeda that are there that are fairly significant. And we've seen executions of prisoners that were tied and bound. We've seen beheadings and even more disgusting things that I don't care to go in. The idea of a telegraphed punch, which is what we're seeing here, is aiding them, essentially. The last question, just tell us why we shouldn't worry about that, or if we should.
Well, and make it clear, the sole authorization for military force is to deal with the use of chemical weapons and not to deal with the ongoing civil war. I've been to Syria. I was there a couple years ago. I've been to the border areas. I was there this year in Turkey. I've seen firsthand the opposition as well as the refugees that have fled Syria. There is organized opposition, many of whom we know very well, that we have a lot of confidence that they're the type of people who would respect the rights of all Syrians. But there are elements, particularly in the northern region, that present real problems because they're extremists. They have relationships with Al-Qaeda. The al-Nusra elements are certainly the ones that we have no confidence in whatsoever. So any international support that is given to the opposition in Syria needs to be vetted to make sure it goes to the right groups and not to the extremists.
Senator Ben Cardin, I know you have to go. I appreciate your time today. Please come back and talk to us again. That wasn't so bad, was it?
Nice talking to you. Thanks.
Thanks, sir.
Right.